My name is Lawrence Allen.
I'm Ronald Shaw.
I'm Rahul Vora.
And this is Bad Time Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Bad Time Radio, just a three-pack this time, Lawrence, Rahul, and Ronald, and we are finally talking about 2025, the world held hostage by a virus, a film we've talked about a lot and are finally getting around to doing. Now that Rahul's father did not die, Ronald did not have to carry through on his threats, and everything's cool, but let's go around and would you recommend this? Ronald, you first.
No! Absolutely fucking not. Avoid this movie at all costs. It's literally, I think, the worst movie I've ever seen. And I'm not exaggerating. It's the worst movie we've watched on this podcast. And that's a pretty low bar. So, yeah, no, do not watch this movie. Don't listen to what Lawrence is about to say.
You don't know what I'm going to say. I mean, you do, because we discussed it a lot in the group chat. But Rahul, what do you think?
This was the worst movie we've ever seen, and that I may have ever seen. It was excruciating. Every second of it was pain, and for that reason, I recommend it, actually. So that everyone else can feel the same pain that I felt.
Misery loves company.
Exactly.
Now, as for me, nothing I am about to say should be taken as this is a good movie. This is a bad movie. It is very poorly made, and the acting is terrible. But I don't know why, but just some weird alchemy of how I was feeling when I watched it last night meant that, like, the fact that every line reading is terrible for some reason was very, very, very funny to me. And I was laughing so hard at this. I don't think I've laughed this hard at a movie since, Christ, maybe 2018 when I saw Teen Titans Go to the Movies in theaters and Blockers in the same day. But yeah, I say watch this movie.
Must have been a good day, man, for you to remember. Exactly.
Yeah. But I don't know. I say check it out. It to me has the same sort of hypnotically terrible quality as The Room, where every line reading is strange in some way. And it's very funny to me.
Yeah, you're just waiting for sentences that are like malformed. You're like, what the fuck? For sentences that don't even connect. You're like, what does that connect to that?
I mean, there's literally sorry, Ronald, you go first.
No, go ahead. Because I'm going to refute what you're saying. Go ahead.
There's literally a scene where it starts with a character coming up to a pastor and explaining that all of his family is going to be executed for practicing Christianity. And the pastor says, well, first things first, they are all in heaven now. And then they talk for a little bit. Neither of them seems very upset by what is happening. And then at the end, the pastor gives him some DVDs of like worship night praise music. And the guy just kind of leaps.
I'm not going to debate that everything in this movie is fucking stupid to the point of ridiculousness, but like, unlike The Room, there are no explosive performances in this. There's like nothing crazy happening. Everyone delivers all of their lines in completely muted and like horrible delivery, as if it's like when you're in high school and you're reading Shakespeare and like all the other classmates like don't give a shit about it at all and are just like reading it and kind of struggling reading it from the page. So like there's no good rhythm to it or nothing really means anything. Like everyone's tone is totally off, except the source material is not good. It's not like it's Shakespeare where you're like, well, okay, I can see what the author was going for. At least the delivery is just terrible, except the author in this is also fucking terrible. And I can't even sympathize with the message of the movie. It's not even like it's a good message. Like, this movie just fucking sucks.
Now,
I literally have a note that's like, this movie is the surest way to drive people away from Christianity.
Now, I'm going to put this in. Okay, that is, well, let's get into some high points, which is just going to be me saying things that suck.
Well,
but I thought
you
can
do the summary first.
Oh, right. Okay, so I'm just summarizing because these guys hated it and I kind of liked it. So we open on Germany in 2025. Oh, wait, sorry. Ronald, can you give me a timer?
You know what? Just go through the summary and I might interject because we're not doing the timer today.
Okay. So we open on.
Too angry to time.
Too angry to time.
Ronald, I do think you need to back up from your mic a little bit. You're doing that weird thing that happens when you shout into a microphone.
Yeah, okay. I'll be a little quieter.
Okay, so anyways, we open on the world on 2025. To quote the opening scroll, and this is a direct quote, "Communism is all over the place." And the world, wouldn't you know it?
It's like all over the place.
Yeah.
They didn't define what that means in any way.
They didn't think to go like, there's a global communist regime or any other phrasing. It's just all over the place, man.
When you say something about there's no individual countries, it's now just a globalist society. And it's like, why would that be bad? You know, like, I get that there are people out there who, like, think that, you know, I guess monogamizing the planet is a bad thing and gets rid of cultures or something. But it's like, if we were all one society, imagine how there would be, like, no conflicts between countries and stuff.
And, I mean, also, it does not appear that this world is especially homogenized. Everyone we meet still is very German and speaks with a thick German accent, except for Hunter, the world's chubbiest Marine.
And for some reason, and
the government bad guy as well.
Oh, yeah. Who I legit think might have some kind of brain disease based on his lines. But anyways, so we open on the world's least interesting car chase, where a kind of boring looking white guy is running away around. And this reminded me of that old line from the Flophouse of, you can tell a really cheap movie because the car chases end not with a crash, but with everyone just kind of getting out and walking. And so that happens, and he gets arrested and taken in, and he starts trying to pill the guy who's interrogating him by, like, saying, here, look at all the liberties we've lost. And he's got a copy of the German Constitution, and he's like, I crossed out everything that doesn't apply anymore. And I guess he just crossed out everything. I don't know.
They didn't go into it. They didn't go into what liberties had been taken away.
Well, apparently Germans used to be able to hang out together as long as they didn't have weapons, and now they can't.
Really, really, the things that he mentioned that were the biggest problems were that people used to be able to go to the mall.
Oh, and they banned ice cream, apparently. Yeah.
And Christianity.
Yeah. And also, there's a bunch of flashbacks to, like, all of the lost, like, the old pleasures of life. And almost all of them were sensible, socially distanced outdoor dinners. So it's like, it seems like you could still do that under any reasonable COVID regime. That drives home something very strange about this movie, which is that it appears to have been made by German evangelicals. And because of the differences between German or like European evangelicalism and American evangelicalism, this is a much more naive or less like bloodthirsty and culture war-y movie than I was going and expecting. They don't deliver any weird like long monologues about like masks. And in the end, instead of like trying to overthrow if this had been an American movie, it would have ended up with them like doing straight up terrorism and killing government officials. But instead, in this one, they're all just about like being martyred, which made the movie a lot easier to laugh at, because I'm sure if you got some like, you know, whatever in these guys, they got bad opinions about gays and trans folks and stuff. But the stuff on display in the movie, they're just like, leave us alone. Let's practice Christianity and stop shooting us. And I'm like, I'm kind of sympathetic to that.
Yeah, I mean, sure, but the message, I feel like the message is that that's what's currently happening, which it's not.
Is absurd, yeah. The fact that
also, a super tone-deaf message from the movie was when he was like, yeah, we used to liberate other countries.
And I'm like, who?
I don't know if you can say that.
Yeah, as a German, I don't think you did. Realistically speaking,
we used to bring liberty and democracy to other countries.
Yeah, I was legit trying to figure out what the fuck he might be talking about. The only thing I could come up with was the war in Afghanistan, but even I'm not going to claim to be an expert on German stuff, but post-World War II, they were not really like invading and spreading democracy anywhere, and you can't say like, I mean, in World War II, obviously, they were not doing that either, so I don't know what the fuck he means.
Yeah, I don't know my German history well enough.
But, I mean, definitely, as far as, like, humanitarian interventions, your first thought is not Germany.
Maybe he's talking about the EU as a block? Yeah,
but even
it's
then...
Like NATO?
Yeah, but even then, NATO doesn't do much. Like, the only NATO intervention I'm aware of are the Balkans and Afghanistan, and neither of those, like, went I mean, the Balkan one is kind of debatable, but Afghanistan did not liberate fuck.
Maybe he's talking about like medieval times.
But that
I know.
Maybe, but what I'm thinking is that maybe as a criteria to join the EU, I don't know if this is true, that you have to be some level of democratic.
I mean, yeah, that is true, but still. So anyways, let's get back to the summary. So he's trying to pill this guard, and the guard is sort of seeming sympathetic, although later on the guard will just shoot him. So apparently, no, he was not sympathetic. And we flash back, and it's just him and his sister. They have a very long, boring conversation. One thing about this movie, everyone speaks English, I assume, to give them access to the more lucrative American market, which they justify as the character, English is now the world language. So I guess America conquered everyone and set up a world government, which is weird considering
England did, dude.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. One of those two.
Long live the queen! I don't know why that was my accent, whatever.
Yeah, that was the accent everyone in this movie spoke with. But anyways, but even when they are in private, they are still speaking in heavily accented English.
I mean, how else would I understand them?
Which, I mean, the other, and then they are speaking English, like, their English is better than my German. I have a little bit of German, but not much. But still, they keep attempting idioms, and not deploying them properly, which means that as an English speaker, this movie turns very funny for that reason as well.
They do fuck up the dialogue.
Yes, there is a quote I wrote, and this is the perfect moment. The woman, she's like, "What are you doing here?" And the other one's, "I just wanted to check if the IT is done." Don't we all want efficiency?
And then the first lady goes, "Of course.
Of course."
Because they're still German.
I mean, that's what I do at my job every day.
Yeah, is the IT done, Ronald?
We all want efficiency.
But anyways, so they spat off some ahistorical facts about Christianity being illegal when it was founded and shit, and eventually decide that as a plan, they are going to go put the old Pisces, I believe it's called, symbol, just spray painted all over the place. And
sort of just
see what happens.
It's not really a plan. It's just something that they are bored and can do, and they call it a plan.
Yeah, and to quote them, "We do those fish." So they wander around spray painting these fish on trees, which I think is an asshole move, on piles of leaves, which I'm less offended by, but does seem very pointless. And then in a staggering miscalculation that probably stopped this movie from making like an order of magnitude more money, they also spray paint the fish over a bit of graffiti that says "fuck Jesus," meaning that this movie has an F word in it and could not be shown in a church. A guy in a special forces hat, by which I mean a hat that says "special forces" on it, starts following them. A security guy also starts following them and shoots the girl, but then the special forces guy punches him out. And this is the only moment of violence in the movie. It turns out that the special forces guy is my second favorite character, Hunter, who is a Marine for 2 years, which means that he is probably stealing valor with his special forces hat, because I do believe that you have to be in for more than 2 years to get into special forces. And also they do not let you leave. Like special forces, they put so much training onto you that I believe that you have longer contracts, you know?
Yeah.
But
probably.
Anyway,
I don't know that much about it.
I think special forces guys might actually be commissioned officers, although I'm not sure. I'm not going to claim to be an expert on this, but I do know that you need to do more than 2 years to become one. But anyways, so they all go back home and they're like,
You missed a part. So there's a part here, low point or high point. I don't know. Everything's the same in this movie. I guess it's all high points if I remember it. The low points are the things that you just forgot.
That you repressed because of the traumas.
Yeah. So there's a part where like the guy, he rescues the girl after she's been shot. She's been shot in the arm. And he like bandages her up. And while he's bandaging her, he's trying to get her to stay awake, I guess. Or I don't even know why he's talking to her. He's just trying to make conversation, and he says, "Where are you from?" And she just goes like as she's wrapping up his arm, as he's wrapping up her arm, sorry. And then he says again very loudly, "Where are you from?" Which, it's not an interrogation, So I'm pretty sure she just forgot her line and he had to repeat it twice. It really made no sense in the context of the movie. Other than she forgot her line and didn't respond the first time he asked.
Don't even remember that.
They left it in. They left it in the movie. There was a line forget.
Yeah.
And they didn't even cut that.
I think there's another one with Hunter where he's like,
yeah. I mean, that's every Hunter line.
Every Hunter line is clearly, like, it looks like he's reading the script from, like, slightly off camera. He's so bad.
Let's talk a little bit. This is my second favorite character, Hunter. Every single delivery he has is in the same tone of voice as, like, a kind of a disappointing fail son 20-year-old would use to explain to his parents that he got fired from his job at Walmart because wouldn't stop smoking weed in the bathroom. And he's constantly saying like, I cannot tell, like, Ronald thinks he's reading his lines, which is very possible, but they also have this sort of weird repetition and, like, you know how when you're trying to improvise and make it sound natural, you throw in like a lot of ums and likes because people do that when you're talking, but you overdo it. And it's got like that and the circling quality, which makes it sound like horrible improv. But on the other hand, I mean, I don't know if this guy even has the chops to have improv this
shit. On the other hand, he's staring intently at something. So.
Yeah, I honestly feel like if he was improvising, it would sound so much better because he has the quality of, like, when somebody is reading something from the page, like, they haven't fully memorized it, or like they maybe memorize just what's there, or, like, you know, like basically just the basics of it. And they don't really know what it means or why they're saying it. They're just trying to get it out.
So,
like, yeah.
So you think that this guy is, like, reading his lines for the first time the day of, while he's performing?
I think he's probably read him before, but he clearly has no acting chops, and I don't think he did any work to memorize them. Let me put it that way.
I would say I think he improvised the communion speech.
Maybe. He also tells a joke at one point that I think might be improvised, because if you wrote that joke, it is very embarrassing for you.
Very possibly. Everything in this movie is pretty embarrassing, though, so.
Yeah. Anyways.
It's not like any of the other writing is like, well, that's something to be proud of.
So anyways, he's also an American. He's in Germany, and it's never explained why. He was in the Marines for 2 years, but is not now. Also, I'm not sure if there are Marine bases in Germany, although famously there's a bunch of Army bases there. But anyways, he is divorced, or he had a girlfriend, I guess, but they broke up because she started believing the government. Sort of nebulous what that means. And they get to know each other some. The girl at the hideout explains that she is very sad because her parents, like, overcome by the ennui of the world being enslaved by the virus, killed themselves. So which Hunter delivers a little monologue about how he knows what that's like, because although his parents are alive, they believe the government.
Every time I call them, they talk about government.
It's like, you probably bring it up. You brought it up in this first 5-minute conversation I had with you.
Yeah. And anyways, the preacher dude says, our plan is just to spray fish. Maybe we get a better plan later.
Yeah, it's like, that's not a plan, dude.
it's a hobby.
Actually, yeah, right. First of all, hobby. Through Jesus, all things are possible. So,
who can forget the miracle of the hobby being turned into the plan? But anyways, let's see what else. Yeah, and then he picks up a guitar that's been this place. You know how, like, furniture kind of costs money, and therefore having, like, props and furniture and stuff on your set kind of costs money? That was sort of a nut that they never really cracked in this movie. So the house they hang out in, it looks like a 20-year-old's first apartment where he doesn't really know what to do.
Nothing on the walls, no furnishing. Yeah,
but there is a guitar in a stand. So he's like, oh, a guitar I haven't played in so long. And then he picks it up, and then you think there's going to be a song, but it cuts away. So he must have played a song so badly that they're like, we can't have this in the movie, dude.
But for some reason, they kept in the part where he picked it up.
Yeah.
You didn't need that. You could have just cut that.
But anyways, so then we cut to the evil guy's HQ. Nothing much happens here aside from that we discovered that the big evil guy is kind of a overweight to obese American guy who could not for the life of him remember a line, and that they couldn't actually, they somehow couldn't afford badges. So apparently the head or like one of the high up officers, like maybe the guy in charge of like police forces in Germany under this fascist government, just has a like one of those shirts with the badge kind of like stitched onto it.
That's, you know, that's how, that's what happens when you become a communist globalist society.
Yeah.
No, you can't afford badges because the economy's bad.
Oh, and also they have this line where this woman who is the spy mole inside the government and dating the preacher dude is like stealing files, and she almost gets caught. So because the head guy comes up and he's like, do you have those files? And she goes, yeah. And he goes, good, I'll give them to Lucinda. She's my daughter. But fantastic stuff.
I'm gonna... an exposition for you, savvy film folks.
Yeah.
You might know a thing or two about how to put it, drop some exposition into this dialogue. This was done masterfully.
Oh, and then we get an extended scene of Hunter and them just, the Christians just kind of fucking around in the woods spraying fish, and badly, I might add. It's one of the easiest spray paints to do, I feel, but they keep fucking it up because they're always doing it as two lines instead of one fluid motion. So the like front of the fish never quite meshes. It's dumb. I don't know how you fuck that up as a Christian. It's like if they were bad at drawing crosses.
Which they might be. We didn't see it.
Yeah, and we also know, also at one point, one of them complains how in 2020 they had Christian movies, and this movie came out in 2020, so, you know, meta. It's good. And then we cut to some, I assume bad, although I don't know, dubstep, and we see a sinister person drinking a purple liquid, looking out a window, and then sitting down in front of their computer to hack, hack, hack by reading Wikipedia. And I got very mad because I discovered that the fascist dictatorship of the 2025 is apparently not only not banned gaming, but not banned stupid RGB gaming mice, which, not my fascist government.
They also haven't banned Wikipedia.
Haven't got a gaming mouse.
Yeah, Christianity is illegal, but they've left the Wikipedia page for Christianity up.
Yeah. Also, just like generally, Wikipedia is a editable, like, dictionary, encyclopedia. So why would that be allowed if information is being blocked off? Like, I don't know. It's just nothing in this movie makes any sense. The only thing, it's like the only time we ever see any like oppression is when they're just like walking around spray painting a bunch of stuff and a cop shoots them.
Well, I am the summary executions later.
Yeah, and that. Yeah. That was because they, you know, were hunted by a specific like organization. Not this, they weren't just like picked up randomly.
So anyways, they there's a knock at the door, at the Christian's door, and they, I think, have an argument at this point about how Hunter might have sold them out, which is weird because like before they were very friendly, and then the second someone knocks, they start shouting at him. But they open it up and we see a gorgeous woman who, this would be Holly, and she says in a very thick German accent, I am what you might call a hacker. And she says she doesn't believe in Christianity, but is a free spirit and wants to help them. And then they're like, you might be a plant. And she's like, no, I'm not from that woman. You mean Lucinda? She is an animal cracker. I have read her files and what she does. Nobody wants to be her friend. A verbatim line from the movie. I swear to Christ.
Now, let me tell you guys. Everyone in this movie is terrible. Everyone is a really bad actor. Every line delivery is bad. Hunter's pretty damn bad. Holly beats them all. I mean, she is just so bad. I don't think she knows English. Like, that's my guess on what's happening here. She does not know English. She knows how to read it off the page. And so that's all she's doing.
But on the other hand,
explain a lot.
On the other hand, to me, she was very hot. So I didn't care.
Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about, though, at all.
Yeah, but it's still.
I never said she wasn't attractive.
Yeah, but
or
I still didn't
game
care.
Mouse. He was like, ooh, is she gay?
No. Was angry.
Confirmed attracted to gamers.
No. What happened was I realized that this movie was poorly constructed, so they were trying to make me think she was a gamer, but no woman that fine would ever game.
She wasn't Christian until later in the movie.
She couldn't do her lines. She couldn't actually put together sentences. But I will say that her hacking was very realistic in that
she just goes to Wikipedia.
Her hacking appears to be mostly eating some kind of chip and then going to a blog called How to Be a Good Hacker.
Yeah, that's which, pretty realistic.
I do enjoy chips.
Yeah. But anyways, she's going to help them evade the police and form a worldwide government. And at this point, it sort of becomes like this in a certain kind of bad movie. Hacking is just another word for like magic. And this is very much one of those because they have her, all she has to do is say a spell of some computer words and suddenly they're immune from all consequences.
Yeah, there's literally a question that's like, so what can you hack? Anything.
Yeah.
All right. anything.
Fine. I don't care anymore.
Yeah. So anyway, she helps them start throwing together a resistance cell, or not even a resistance cell, just sort of churches. They're just underground churches. And she helps them burn DVDs of like the Bible because no one has a Bible anymore, which.
Even though Wikipedia is whatever.
Yeah. They have Wikipedia, but I also, I had the very, to me, funny idea that they should keep the Wikipedia entry, but just edit it to make Christianity look bad. So it's like Christianity is a dumb religion. No, actually, it should just be all like cool online 2005 atheist shit about like zombie Jesus and how this flying spaghetti monster is as real and shit. Just trying to make Christianity extremely cringe to people by association.
Honestly, that would make more sense. They just left regular Wikipedia up, though, and apparently it put it in Christianity in a pretty good light.
Yeah,
I've
not like
research, and I believe you.
Yeah, it's not like Mormonism, where the Wikipedia articles are basically kind of saying, look, I'm sorry, guys, but this shit just is not true. I wish it were. But anyways, so the pastor guy gives it an inspiring speech where he's like, they decide when our children should be born, what job they should be, and when we should die, which, you know, I'm glad someone's making those calls. I'm not doing a good job with it. And then he literally says, they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom because these people saw Braveheart.
It's like, so, oh my God.
That is literally the fucking line, except he's obviously worse at saying it.
It's not only the line, it's like the catchphrase of the movie. Like, and they don't play it off like he's quoting the movie either. They play it off like he came up with it. It's like, dude, come on.
Yeah. And here's where we get that scene I talked about earlier where a guy comes explaining that his family is about to be executed and leaves with some worship night service DVDs. We also get a speech from the dictator guy who says the immortal line, chaos was sleazing our society. Now, this is a man who apparently does speak English, but is just not good at it.
Yeah, what was he even trying to say there?
And he also says, I expect a leg behind every case.
That's, you know, the old phrase. Leg behind every case.
Yeah. Then the preacher guy is like leading a little church service. There's some lights in the distance, but he's like, hey, let's just keep praying and singing. They're singing Amazing Grace. It sounds okay. It's very hard for Amazing Grace to sound bad, although as we'll get to in a minute, it is not impossible. And he's like, no, we're going to keep praying and stuff. So the police come and arrest everybody and I think take them off to be executed. Did they summarily execute them or did they just take them off to execute them?
No, they didn't execute them at that point. They said, you're under arrest.
Yeah.
What happened? But it's so funny because he's like, no, we're not going to leave. I believe then, in God.
And then smash cut to him running away while everyone else is getting arrested.
I was like, wait, what? I thought you were leaving up to God, bro.
And also, this is where we get a rap remix of Amazing Grace that is one of the worst things I have ever heard in my life.
It's pretty horrible.
I mean, I like Amazing Grace. You know, I think it's a good song. Yeah, you know, this is not it, Chief.
You also forgot one of the best parts of the movie. In that, at the very beginning of the movie, there's this guy that's in their group, and he says, like, I don't want to do this anymore. We're not making any progress.
And people are getting killed.
I still believe in the cause, but I'm too afraid to go outside anymore. I can't do it anymore. And so they're like, okay, see ya. And then later in the movie, he just goes up to the chief of police or whoever the guy is, and is like, hey, I know where all these Christians are, and I'll turn them in if I get immunity. And like, they don't even know who this guy is.
It's even weirder because he's like, I'll turn them in for a reward. And they're like, okay, what do you want? And he's like, I want immunity. And it's like, are you being charged with something? What, why don't you ask for money? Oh, wait, communism. Yeah. There is
ask
no money.
Ask for anything. Like, he has no motivation. He just turns them in for fun?
Apparently. And then we get a really weird monologue with the main bad guy, who I realized at this point, he sounded kind of familiar to me, and he is not Tim Heidecker doing Decker, but he sounds exactly like Tim Heidecker doing Decker, the same weird pauses that kind of rushing through. Just does he do the pursed lip thing? I could swear he does. But anyways,
I think he does a little bit.
I don't think you really saw his face during that monologue.
Yeah, but anyways, he's fondling a train, which he explains represents all of the Christians he's killed in some obscure way, and says that danger is often hidden in beauty.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know what he was even referring to there.
A train? Is dangerous and beautiful, or?
Yeah, was there a bomb on the train? Or...
yeah.
They never circled back to that.
Why does it represent the Christians?
I don't know. I kind of almost, this might be too dark and I might cut it.
Dangerous. The Jewish people on the train.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if you're in Germany and you're talking about like dangerous trains, your mind does go to places, but I don't think that's what this movie meant.
Yeah. But they really don't talk about World War II or the Holocaust at all in the movie.
I'm glad of, because I can't imagine this movie would do well with that material.
Great. That's honestly great. It's like one of the few good things I can say about this movie is that they don't talk about other tragedies like they're the same.
Yeah. It doesn't really, I mean, the other thing that sort of came to my mind is that half of Germany was under communism, a fairly invasive form of it until 1989. And this movie doesn't really seem to be referencing that either.
I don't think that these guys know any history. That's my guess on what happened.
But anyways, and then the main guy he's talking to, I think his daughter, although if it's his daughter, I wonder why he has a horrible American accent and she has a thick German one, but whatever. She's like, hey, why don't we have everyone swear daily on the Constitution, the new Constitution that's all evil. And the guy's like, that's a good idea. Go talk to the Minister of Propaganda. That's how he says it.
Minister of Propaganda.
Yeah.
God.
So anyways,
you know, I've forgotten a lot of this movie, thankfully. It's kind of nice when you say stuff and I'm like, I don't even remember that. Like, thank you, brain.
The train scene, I think, was maybe the lowest part of this movie.
I was fucking rolling.
Because it was bad.
There's like a good 45 minutes of the movie that I just don't really remember that much of because it's just so boring. Like, it starts off and it ends with at least I remember what happened because something actually happens at the start and the end. But like in the middle, it just drones on for so long. And Lawrence like skipped a lot of it, which is good because it doesn't make any sense. Or it doesn't make any sense to do in a summary because it doesn't add anything.
There are a lot of scenes of them just fucking around in the woods.
Resistance is building and it involves sending DVDs and stuff.
There's like a 10-minute scene of the guy, main guy walking with his girlfriend and talking about like if they should be together and like what their future is.
Well, they didn't really talk about that. It was more just like,
I love you.
I think I love you.
And then she's like, I love you as well.
Well, yeah, but then they're like,
same feelings.
They're like, with God, I think we can make it work.
Oh right. Actually, you know what? Yeah. Give me one sec. I want to see if I can find my phone because there was some quotes there that I thought were very funny. I sent them to you guys and you guys did not respond, but
I'm
still
too busy.
Okay, one sec.
It's because I barely remembered it. I'm not gonna lie.
Okay. So first off, this is the woman talking to the preacher boy before they, you know, kiss. Wow, I know it will be hard, but with Jesus in the center of our relationship, it can last. Which I liked because it sounds like she's talking about an erection. And then the guy responds with, it will last if we put him first. Which again, he's like, yeah, it'll last if you get down there, get off your, you know, duff and do some stuff to it, dude.
It's like the isn't there someone you forgot to ask meme? Except they're literally trying to see if they can ask him.
It's like they're trying to angle a three-way with our Lord.
Yeah.
But anyways.
I guess you can't blame him. Have you seen his abs?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Then we get a scene where Holly the hacker converts to Christianity. And they start speaking in German. And it turns out she is much better. I don't know if this is just... You might be right that she straight up doesn't speak English. Because this is... Whatever. But this is actually the best like performances in the movie. Because suddenly they're, you know, like speaking...
Yeah, it's like...
I like
how to speak naturally. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see.
But during this conversion scene, I noticed that she has a tattoo cross on her cheek. So she's being converted, and she, prior to that conversion, she got a cross tattooed on her cheek. Like, what?
Because it's sick as hell, bro.
She thought it was like a cool symbol.
Oh, a cool symbol. Yeah. I mean, it's, wait, yeah. What are they?
Yeah, I just thought it was like a plus sign.
Yeah, we find out that they've converted 10,000 people in Asia. So the main guy arranges to send those Asians 30 DVDs. It might be 100,000. I'm not sure.
It was 100K.
Well, 100,000, anyway.
But there's only like 30 people in their group.
Yeah. The Weasley traitor guy comes back and just sort of stands in the doorway reciting flaccid propaganda. Ooh, and Hunter delivers an incredible line. What do you want, man? Like,
so what do you want, man?
No. You didn't let me finish. What do you want, man? Like, what's your purpose?
Coming from Hunter, that is a serious burn. Because that guy has no purpose.
Yeah. And also, Hunter, at this point, the guy's like talking in the doorway, and Hunter has a coughing fit, and they do not try to mask it at all. It just stayed in the movie.
Yeah. And like, that wasn't scripted. For some reason, they didn't cut it. I don't know. And also, by the end of the movie, it was like, why was Hunter in this?
Because he rules.
He was pretty funny, but.
Awful. Like, I mean, I guess they need an American accent. I have no idea, but he's there for, I don't know.
Oh,
his character does nothing. At least, like, the hacker girl, also terrible, but at least her character serves some purpose. What did Hunter do? He did nothing.
He said the line, I'm definitely displeased with how things are going. It's like, if you're gonna improvise a better line than that, Hunter, Jesus Christ, if he was improvising. But anyways, the fascist guy, let's see what else. At this point, the evil fascist lady has a heart-to-heart with the spy lady who's dating the main guy. And explains that, you know, she's been trying to make her father, I guess, less like down on Christians, but she also had to kill a lot of people to gain his trust, so ultimately she doesn't think she can be saved. And then she kind of blinks and just walks out of frame with no ending to the speech.
That's the end of her story. I don't think she's back in the movie again.
Yeah, and well, actually, I think she might be there at the end when they kill the main guy. But anyways, but that does mean that they're...
Maybe she's going to save someone and get her redemption, but like, no.
Yeah, so also...
There's really no reason that line was even in the movie.
There are three named fascist characters, or three like main fascist characters in this movie, and maybe like 10 anonymous goons. And of those three, two of them are not committed at all and are actively working against the government.
Yeah, the main bad guy seems to buy into the evil propaganda, which begs the question, like, how did this ever happen?
Yeah. It
doesn't seem that powerful.
It kind of seems like if just everyone who doesn't like this said, hey, stop, it would kind of stop, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure in the fantasy world that they live in, that's true.
But anyways, so then there's the final like broadcast of the resistance group, which is basically just them doing kind of shitty communion and reminiscing about the good old days. And Hunter says this group is tight, which I thought was funny. But now Luke goes and sells them out, or whatever, the Weasley guy sells them out. So... Oh, and he also, while he's selling them out, he goes, here's the cool thing. There's only three people about the resistance. So anyways, the cops raid them. The blonde lady manages to, or the spy lady manages to tip them off, but for some reason, so they're gone. But for some reason, the main guy is not far enough away. So there's a chase scene. They capture him. After he's pilled the guard, you assume that the two people who are going to execute him are the guard who he talked to for a long time and who kind of agreed with him that things sucked, and the lady who said that she wasn't really down for fascism but also thought she couldn't be saved. So you're like, oh, I bet they're going to like escape. But nope, it ends. It fades to black right as they're about to shoot him, and you hear gunshots. So apparently he did get executed. But then it cuts to bloopers right away, and the bloopers aren't very good.
It's like that. I think the bloopers really pissed me off because I watched the movie and I was like, "You actually cut stuff?" Like, I had to watch this atrocity full of just horrible mistakes and line reads that you chose to leave in the movie, and you're telling me that there's stuff that you cut and you thought was funny enough to actually still put in. Like, God.
And the bloopers are Hunter just doing more Hunter stuff, which is no more or less funny than when he was like making animal noises in the woods or telling the worst joke I've ever heard, which I will relay in a moment. The guy trying to break a door, the window of a shitty car with a brick, and the brick just bouncing off twice before he gets it. And then the police, or the like security guard who chases them at first, saying, "Say hello to my little friend," while brandishing his gun. And I think that's it.
Yeah.
I
didn't watch bloopers.
You did a pretty good job of remembering everything that happened.
Yeah, I took extensive notes because I kind of loved this movie.
I like
it. Go ahead, Ro.
Oh, I was going to say, I have a single high point, which is not really a high point, honestly. But whenever they showed the dude driving the little car, they like dubbed in sounds for like a larger vehicle. And it was like ludicrous. Like, it was just made me laugh.
Yeah. And what ultimately, that's what we all need in these trying times, a good laugh.
Yeah. And some big horsepower.
Christianity's taken over. I mean, communism. Oops, shit. Fuck that up.
Whatever.
Communism is taking over.
The bad one. The bad one took over. I would like to say that. I guess this, I alluded to this earlier, but the American version of this movie would be far more offensive than this, and larded up with far more weird culture war shit. This one, the virus seemed almost incidental to what was happening, aside from that some of the characters wear masks in some of the scenes, although I could never figure out the logic behind when they do and don't wear masks.
Yeah, I thought that there for a moment that masks were to denote people that were like evil, but then like the main fascist guy and his daughter were always, yeah.
And like, okay. Also, the good guys wear masks whenever they're out, aside from when he's delivering a speech. So
look, here's my theory on the masks and the goons. They've reused actors, and so they put masks on them so you couldn't tell.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's true, but that's my theory on why they have a bunch of people wearing a bunch of the goons wearing masks.
Yeah, it's very possible, but still. And also, the thing that the Christians want in this ultimately is to just be left alone to practice their faith. And again, an American version of this would have probably ended with them establishing some kind of, they would have said it was returning to America's glory, but it would have been some kind of like fundamentalist, like Christian theocracy, really.
Okay, so, I challenge you with this. The American version would have been way more offensive, way more, I don't know, it would have been propaganda-y even more. But it would have been more interesting.
And it probably would have had Kevin Sorbo in it.
This movie was so boring. Like, Kevin Sorbo would have been such a huge relief in this movie, because at least he's a terrible actor, but he does it in a funny way. He does it, he like emotes really big. And like, I mean, I don't want to see him, but I would rather see him than the actors in this movie who just all have completely flat delivery for every single line. It's just so monotonous.
A high school play.
Yeah,
well, it really does feel like a high school play.
Like,
yeah, like, lower level, like high school play of people who didn't want to be involved.
You know, I will say this. I like, legitimately, we talked about this some on Disturbing the Peace. The acting in here is worse than I have seen in any porno that I believe to have been acted.
And
because in porn, it feels like they have a stake in the film.
Yeah,
like,
or
in this, they just don't seem to care at all. It's like, why are you doing this?
I legitimately thought that this was going to turn into a porno like 50 times.
Yeah, it really seems like Holly and the girl were going to start making out after the Jesus thing.
Just because the lines are so wooden, you know, it's just like, but I guess I'm conditioned in some weird way.
I think it's mostly that in pornos, they're trying to deliver like far less emotion, and also they tend to remember their lines up until it doesn't matter anymore, you know? I don't know. But anyways.
Yeah. No, this was truly horrible. I mean, the acting in what was the movie we saw with Guy Pearce?
Disturbing the Peace had better acting.
Disturbing the Peace. The acting in Disturbing the Peace is terrible. And there's like one guy in it who's like, if I hadn't just watched 2025, I would have been like, this is the worst actor I've ever seen. But like, that guy would do well in this movie. He would stand out as like the best actor by far.
Yeah. Like,
as terrible as he was.
He could speak English fluently and didn't say like every third word.
These guys, these weren't actors, you know, like.
Yeah. These were like, the people
I hesitate to even call this a movie.
These were the people in the church group who they thought were attractive enough to sell a movie. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
These were the six people in the German church group who could speak English. Actually, that's basically
five, or five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Anyways, let me tell you Hunter's joke, which okay. Yeah. So he goes, what did Corona do to Jesus? And then there's a long pause, and then he goes, nothing. And that's the joke. That's the whole fucking joke.
Yeah, I was like, what do you even... Are you saying the virus is fake, or are you saying that it couldn't stop Christianity? I don't even know what he's trying to say there.
Or that Jesus is immune to illnesses.
Why should it bother us?
Yeah.
I honestly don't know what the point of the joke is. It's not funny.
Yeah, and in fact, even the characters in the movie, like, give him shit for the joke not being funny.
Yeah. Which, like, this is, like, more generally in movies, I kind of hate this, when they, like, have somebody say a bad joke, and then the others in the movie groan, and it's like, if you're not even your characters like it, why do you think the audience would like this? Like, don't put shitty jokes in just to have your other characters groan about it. Unless it's, like, a character trait or something. But usually it's not. It's like, the director's like, I want to put in this stupid fucking joke that nobody thinks is funny, but I'm just going to play it off by it be supposed to be stupid.
Yeah. Put in a good joke. Or don't. Exactly. Whatever. I don't care anymore. Anyways, I actually have a game for us. Well,
all right. Let's get away from this stupid movie.
Yeah. Okay, aside from you guys said you hated this, but you laughed a lot talking about it.
Great time talking about it. I had a good time talking about it on the pod with you guys. I will never watch this movie again.
I rented it twice because I couldn't sit through the whole thing.
You fool.
Oh man, I'm enriching some, I don't even know.
You're enriching one of the most boring men in Germany.
I'm enriching the fake Warner Brothers company.
I can't believe I paid for this stupid movie. I paid to sit through an hour and a half of torture.
You know,
I blame Rahul.
There are no torrents for this movie. I'm certain of it. I didn't look, but who would see this?
I wouldn't have torrented it anyways, but my God.
You know who would see it? A little Jesus. Guy named, yeah, Jesus. Jesus has a perfect ratio. He always downloads the whole thing, and then he just seeds forever. Anyways.
Ollie's probably also seeding.
Oh, yeah.
From a network of machines that can't be taken down.
Yeah, because she said they couldn't be, and that's good enough.
She doesn't need to seed it. She just hacked it.
Yeah.
I don't know how, you know, I don't know how it works.
It's everywhere now. Yeah.
She had a computer. You know, it is actually impressive to me that apparently she still had a DVD burner in the year 2020. I've not seen a computer with one of those in a very long time.
Yeah, I haven't. I don't have any way of reading a DVD. They just mail out DVDs and it's like, I can't use this, bro. Like,
eh.
I have an external one with a USB that I bought a while ago.
Oh, so you're good. I'll mail it to you then.
Yeah.
Mail me the DVD, please. That's the best way of sending information. Snail mail with a DVD. Actually, just do a floppy disk.
A Bible could fit on a floppy, honestly.
Yeah.
Maybe. Anyways, let's see here. So, the game. I thought let's just bring back a classic segment, retired for you know, reasons. But Law Day. Let's do fucking Law Day.
All right.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah.
How do we do this one again?
Very simple. One of us proposes a law, usually poop-based, but it doesn't have to be. And then the other two, we all vote on it. And if the majority of us vote on it, it becomes binding law for us and all of our listeners.
Cool. I'm in.
So anyways, I'm going to go first. Mine is pretty simple. It addresses a problem I've had for a long time, which is you find a band and you listen to one of their songs and you like it. And then you're like, okay, I want to hear more of this. And then you go in and listen to a lot of their other songs and none of them sound like the first song. Or alternately, you're like, I think I hate the Beatles. But then someone's like, well, have you heard this song, this song, this song, and this song? And you're like, no, I've only heard one of their songs. And then they're like, well, you don't know if you hate the Beatles then because all their songs sound different. So on this, my proposal is very simple. All songs the band has must sound the same. It is not hard to do. AC/DC did it. Andrew WK did it. Smash Mouth did it. So yeah, and you're like, okay, what if I want to make a song that sounds different? Go start a different band. Nothing's stopping you. You're like, what if I started the band and the band just had my name? It's like, well, do start another band that doesn't have your name or change your name. I don't care. Just make sure all your songs sound the same so I don't have to waste my time trying to figure out if, you know, the Octopus's Garden or whatever the fuck is typical of the Beatles and I can therefore write them off. Boom.
Okay. So the only reason to stay in a band is you're going to write stuff that basically just sounds exactly the same.
I mean, similar. You're allowed to have like different music and notes and stuff, but it has to sound pretty similar. So like Vampire Weekend would have to only record songs that sound like the Kids Don't Stand a Chance, for instance.
But like the Offspring's probably safe.
Oh yeah. The Offspring are all ska bands are safe under this, really.
My music listening at all.
You know what? I'm going to even say that it's okay if you're recording your song in a style that's sort of derivative. So it's okay. The fact that I believe Real Big Fish keeps recording songs in a style they call ska-acoustic, that's fine.
I see. You can't do a hard turn on people.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a band that has done that.
I mean, it seems to be every fucking band to me.
Yeah, tons of bands do it, but you know, it's like most bands are only known for a couple albums.
Yeah.
Or a single song, but you know.
You know what, Lawrence? I think you've thought this through. I'm gonna give you the yay on this one.
I'm gonna vote yay as well. Rahul, have I sold you?
Think it's a great idea. I mean, yeah. I can't remember the last time I was caught off guard because I kind of just listen to singles now. But
you do kind of hate to listen to an album from somebody and you're like, this doesn't sound like their old stuff at all.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah. So, you know, this gets a yay from me.
Hell yeah. The motion is adopted. Now, Ronald.
Okay. So, you know how, like, when you put the Kool-Aid powder into water, and it's like, no matter how much water you have, it like turns it red.
Uh huh.
I propose that we take a giant thing of Kool-Aid powder and we put it in Lake Michigan.
Awesome.
And then we have like a sweet red lake.
Ooh.
Cool. Oh, could we rename it like Lake Bludchigan or something?
That'd be a different law, but okay, you know, you can call it whatever you want.
Wait, we can't pass
it. Also, we're doing the no sugar Kool-Aid, so hopefully it won't really mess with the native life there.
You know, I'd argue that probably has weirder chemicals in it and is going to fuck them up more.
I'm pretty sure it's just the same, just no sugar in it. You have to mix the sugar in yourself. It's not like diet Kool-Aid where it has like an artificial sweetener in it.
Okay. So this is basically just you're putting food coloring in the lake and hoping everything's cool?
Yeah, and maybe a little bit of artificial flavoring, but that's it.
Okay.
That probably won't mess with the fish too much. I mean, I'm not a marine biologist, but...
Yeah, and we're very pointedly not consulting them, because when we asked them about this, they said, are you insane? Why would you do that?
And they told me that no sane person would ever pass a law like that. Well, guess what, pal?
That's Congress, baby. I will.
So who's into the Lake Michigan Kool-Aid idea?
You know what? I say roll the dice. We've got plenty of other lakes if this fucks that one up.
Yeah, like great.
It's like the ocean. Yeah.
Rahul,
what are you thinking?
I'm gonna vote against it.
I was against it, huh?
But that's only for my constituents.
What's the basis?
Well, the basis is that I'm voting that way so my constituents see that I voted against it, but I already knew that you two were voting for it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I only do things to fuck with your constituents. Now I'm voting against it, so you look like the bad guy.
Oh, so now I don't know what to do. And now no, I look like an asshole.
Like the hero. Lawrence looks like the hero that would have made our lake beautiful, but Rahul screwed it all up.
Wait, no, but you're voting against it too.
Yeah, but well, he's only doing it.
I'm trying to.
This was your bill that you're voting against your own bill.
Now, what Rahul, what you have to understand is that Ronald's constituents put him there specifically to mess with you. That was his entire campaign.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to be happy with me as no matter what I do, as long as you look bad.
Yeah, they literally, his campaign ads were literally a picture of you looking smug and then being like, look at this little shit. Let's fuck with him.
And everyone was into it, like really shockingly into it.
Yeah. They didn't even know you, but they just instantly disliked you.
Oh, I guess that means I have to change to yes.
Except for Ronald, who's allowed to.
Well, just because I proposed a bill doesn't mean
that's
I
in the law.
Yeah.
That was the implicit law.
That's why we still have to vote at the end. That's why when I put a rider on Lawrence's, he voted against it, but it didn't matter because we all voted yay except.
And that's why we all have to do something horrible involving poop. I forget what. Or maybe that was the one for burning down the rainforest. I forget which.
I don't know. It was bad no matter what.
Yeah. Anyways, Rahul, what's your law?
All right. So my law is that we divert all medical funding in the world to the pressing problem of basically force-growing limbs. So that in the future, if you ever need to like wash your hands or you got a cut on a hand or anything, you can just chop it off and get a new one. Just glue it back on. So really, I'm looking out for future generations.
Glue it back on?
Yeah.
So if you want to wash your hand, you're like, ah, screw it. You chop off your hand and don't wash it, and then you just glue it back. How does that fix the issue?
No, you get a new one. It's like disposable. You get disposable limb.
You go to the store?
Would it still hurt when you removed it?
Oh, yeah.
I see a problem, then.
Look, dude, I'm just saying that we fund this and we see what happens.
Okay, wait, I have a question. Well, does it work like that one radio show we listened to where we can chop off our head and grow a new one?
I would say that's part of this, but you know, if they get to it, they get to it. The scientists, you know.
Now, does the head grow a new body too?
Yeah, could I just make two of me and then find out if it's gay to have sex with yourself?
Also, if I chopped off my own head, would the head that grow back look the same? Or would it be like,
It
would look like my brother or something?
For that matter, would the hands look the same?
These are all irrelevant.
Yeah, dude, I know the back of my hand really well. If I chop it off and grow a new one, is it going to look different?
I mean, I've got a lot of scars on my hand, and I think that's really cool. And I hope that when people see them, they assume I did something cool as opposed to what actually happened, which is that when I was very young, I both loved playing with knives and was incredibly clumsy. And I don't really know if I want hands without all those cool scars.
Well, you know, I'm sure the doctors can fit you with a...
They can clone the hand. Like, you bring it in.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Oh, can we attach a rider to this that we also put engineering into making cloning machines?
Yeah, I think we have to. I think that's, you know,
it seems like it kind of is necessary for this whole thing.
So the richest people can live forever.
Yep, that's what was wrong with society. Rich people kept dying.
Now I have another question. What counts as a limb?
Pretty much just a penis, honestly.
Oh, okay. Not the ball sack, though.
Weird
fetishes can't be fulfilled.
So I'm doubling back a bit. This appears to imply that Rahul gets his penis dirty several times a day, has to wash it, and then thought, you know what? I wish I could just cut this thing off and slap a new one on
instead of a new one, man. God damn it.
Now, do you think you'd have a container that had, like, you know, 10 different penises, and you just, like, store them.
You go to the store, and this is,
depending on the day, you might swap
dogs,
off.
And you just, you know.
You got your formal penis. Board
and just snip it off.
Like, I think I'm going to go for, like, dirty penis today.
Yeah, you got your formal penis, your informal penis, your summer penis, your spring penis, your fall penis, your holiday penis, your family holiday penis.
Oh, Jesus. Family holiday penis.
You don't want it to be too intimidating on a family holiday. unless you're steps.
And also, you got to make sure it's the same color as when you were growing up for a family holiday, or else they're going to ask questions.
Now, people might get used to it, though, so, you know, you could go crazy. You can get, like, a nice warty one if you want.
Could I get one that looks like a toadstool?
Yeah, I think so, too.
Could I get one that's all head but enormous?
Yes, and in fact, we have the technology to do that right now. So if you want me to come and do that to you, no, I will.
I don't want it to be permanent. I just want to to try it once for the novelty.
Okay, well, you know what? I think we can vote. I think I've formed enough to vote on this.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say yes. I don't see the harm in this. Plus, I think I might be able to just slap like five hands on myself and be super cool.
My God. Think of the power.
I think there is harm in this, in that we're diverting all medical research.
Oh, right. We're all going to just die of the next coronavirus, because that's definitely coming before we figure out how to do this.
But you know what? I'm okay with the harm. I'm fine. If I die, I die.
All limbs, you know? You can chew them up into fish food.
If I die before this happens, then it was never meant to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. The future doesn't exist beyond your next meal, honestly.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what this movie taught me, I think. I didn't really pay attention, but something about the future. Jesus is cool. That too.
Is there really a movement in Germany where they feel like they're being... Is this just a worldwide thing where some...
A lot of different countries, when everyone was going into shutdown, I think had similar feelings of like, oh no, the government has too much control.
The other thing is
why Christians in particular?
Well, first of all, it's kind of an American like export. Evangelical culture is as homogenized as anything else. So like, you know, other countries will just kind of get our exported like weird neuroses and conspiracy theories. But the other thing is that in Europe, because Christianity is like much less like overwhelming as percentage of the population and political power and stuff, they actually do have more cause to say that they're being discriminated against, because at least, you know, it's not like 80% of the population is them.
Huh. Interesting. I do know that the coronavirus lockdowns in some European countries are actually quite serious. Like in Italy, like you weren't allowed to walk outside.
That one. I mean, like, pretty they actually had real... Again, these people have more cause to complain than anyone else, because they are only 52.7% of the population as opposed to like 70 in America. They don't have quite the stranglehold on the government. And there was actually a real, honest to goodness, like lockdown where you weren't allowed to leave your house and shit. As opposed to us, where it was literally like... A people who are a member of a religious group that is like 80% of the population crying because they couldn't go to fucking Applebee's to try to save someone's life.
Here it's just so ludicrous. I mean, they're still a bit ludicrous.
But at least they were being inconvenienced more than like the barbershop was closed, so I had to do it myself or something, you know?
Yeah, a big thing was not being able to go to church, and they'd make reference to that when, what's that fucking Marine's name? He was like...
Hunter!
It used to be awesome. You used to be able to go to Bible study.
Oh, God.
And, you know, I get that, you know, like, you really wanted to.
I don't think that this man has studied the Bible before in his life.
I mean, again, I think shutting down the churches, I don't know, man. It's like, I guess it was probably necessary, but, and Zoom church isn't the same, but, I mean, it's a certain point you got to, like, suck it up and actually do what a Christian would do, which is sacrifice yourself on behalf of a stranger, the entire point of the fucking religion.
I mean, I get that it sucks to lose. I mean, maybe for some people, churches, their entire...
It is this, especially, those mega churches especially are set up so that it becomes the center of your social life.
Yeah.
You guys sound like woke libs. Wait.
I don't know.
Is this still part of the bit, or
I don't fucking know. Wait, what bit? I was just saying my honest opinions.
Oh God. You've been government pills.
Goodness, Ronald.
I gotta do 100 and get rid of you guys.
Now Ronald knows what it's like to have dead parents because his friends believe the government.
Exactly. It's the exact same feeling.
Anyways, let's do some recommendations and cautions. What do you guys say?
Yeah, sure. Good. Yeah, sure.
Okay, Rahul, let's do you first.
Okay. I will recommend a little show called JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. It's just like the best. You know, sometimes anime can be so annoying with the over-the-topness of every, like, just the over-the-top emotions. A lot of times they just really irritate me. But for some reason in JoJo's, like, I just love it. I don't know why. It really does. It's like so ridiculous. You know, it's like, oh man. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, so I recommend it.
Hey, which season? I understand that JoJo fans have like a lot of thoughts on that kind of thing.
Oh, do they? I'm watching season 4. This is coming from season 4. I don't really remember the other seasons, honestly.
Okay, JoJo what? Season 4.
The other seasons?
Sorry, what?
He's a fake JoJo friend.
You don't remember the other seasons?
I do, but like I don't remember like having like a super favorite. I mean, I like Jotaro.
Season 2.
Is that yeah, see exactly. I don't even know. It all just melts together for me.
Fair enough. I mean, every season has its own characters, has its own main characters.
Yes, yeah. But Jotaro is still alive in season 4.
Yeah, he's still around, but he's not the main character.
No, he's not the main character at all.
Anyways.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
Anyways, you got a caution?
I would like to caution you against not watching 2025 because it will teach you the truth about
things. That's another recommendation.
Is it though, Ronald?
He's cautioning you against the 2020 not adopting the 2025 lifestyle.
All right.
Just wandering around finding
DVD players, boys.
Just wandering around finding viruses, letting them hold you hostage.
You know, if you just plugged in a random DVD, you'd probably get a fucking virus. Honestly.
No way, man. DVD technology is so old. There's no way it works on modern. Like, there's no way somebody put a modern Windows freaking virus on a DVD.
What if they dug up this DVD in like the Antarctic as part of an ice core? And then they... Oh, there's a virus.
Let's plug it into the Skynet.
And then they're bringing back like an extinct computer virus from the time of the mammoths.
I mean, I guess like any virus could basically work if you just like run it in admin mode.
You run it in admin mode and you figure out and compatibility mode, those two.
Yeah.
That's the equivalent of fuck me up fam for a virus.
Anyway. Yeah. That's it for
me. Okay. Ronald, what do you got?
All right. I've got a caution and a recommendation. The caution is a movie from 2001 called The Mexican, starring Brad Pitt, directed by Gore Verbinski. Not a great movie. It's not the worst movie I've ever seen, but it is pretty jingoist. Like, as in, like, it kind of treats Mexico like the Old West. And it's like, dude, that's not what Mexico's like. Like, this is pretty offensive. It's also like a pre-9/11 movie. So like, bafflingly, Brad Pitt just takes a gun on an airplane in a lunchbox and no one questions it.
Hell yeah.
It's like one of those things, like, I guess probably before 9/11 that wasn't that weird.
Dude, but like, before 9/11, like,
you go to prison. Like,
airplane travel before 9/11 was... Oh my god. That's crazy. So much different.
Nowadays, literally, if you say that, you're going to do that. You don't even have to actually try. They arrest you.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. But yeah, no, he just has a gun in the airplane. I thought they were going to show that he was like sneaking it on somehow. But he does not. He just puts it in his lunchbox and carries it on.
Hell yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what that was about. But it's directed by Gore Verbinski, who 1 year later made The Ring, which is like one of my favorite horror movies of all time. This movie is baffling. It's so weird. I don't really know. Like, there's like two different storylines that are happening, and one of them is like so irrelevant to the main one and has a very, very out of nowhere ending, and kind of one of those things that, like, after it's over, it's like, what did we learn here today? Like, literally nothing. Like, what was the point of all of this?
Hell yeah.
It did have really good actors in it. It had J.K. Simmons, Brad Pitt, Julia Roberts, James Gandolfini. James Gandolfini steals the show, by the way. So it's not like the worst thing you've ever seen. It's pretty funny at parts. Brad Pitt plays a pretty, like, his character is just so completely stupid. It's kind of funny. Like, he's an incompetent character, which makes it kind of fun.
Brad Pitt has a talent for playing those characters.
He really does. Yeah, he really does. He's a good actor. But like, the second half of the movie kind of ditches that whole aspect of his character, and he becomes competent, and it's less funny. I don't know. Just really not really worth checking out. I guess if that sounds interesting, you can give it a watch. It's certainly not the worst thing I've ever seen, but not really worth your time. My recommendation is not a movie or any form of media. My recommendation is try Metamucil.
Hell yeah.
It's a fiber supplement to your diet, and it has a pleasant taste, no extra sugar, and it's very helpful. So
speeds things along.
If you ever had, you know, stomach issues, try Metamucil. It's like been around forever. I feel like it's kind of slept on, as, you know, people will try all these like crazy new supplements. Like, Metamucil's there, man. Just try it. So that's it for me.
You've never tried the vacuum?
The old hot dog vacuum? Stick it right down your gullet?
No. The other way.
Oh. You know what? I haven't gone that way, actually. Yeah. I have to give it a shot.
You did this down your...
Yeah.
Thanks for the recommendation, brother.
Anyways, I have two recommendations, no caution. First of all, I rewatched the original Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla from the 70s, and that movie is just such a fucking delight. It's one of the most fun of the original run of Godzilla movies. This is the one where space gorillas make a robot copy of Godzilla and then disguise it as Godzilla for no apparent reason and have it go on a rampage, I guess to ruin Godzilla's reputation, question mark.
That's an amazing premise, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I wish there was a little bit more like monster action, but everything that happens in it is so goofy and strange. A guy, one of the main characters is a doctor, and for some reason he has a pipe that can make EMPs. He is not a doctor of anything where you would expect him to do that, but he just has this weird weaponizable pipe. It has some of the dopiest monster designs of all time. Mechagodzilla himself looks very sharp, but Godzilla teams up with a monster named King Caesar, who looks very silly. And then the other thing I watched that I liked was this movie Violent Night, which is that killer Santa Claus movie David Harbour made. I would not pay money to see this, but it's on a lot of free streaming services, and it's a pretty amiable hour and a half of just what if Santa Claus was in Die Hard, and also, for reasons that aren't really explained, Santa Claus is a Viking badass who's like super good at killing people. And in particular, John Leguizamo plays the villain, and he starts off where he's like doesn't believe that that he's being menaced by Santa Claus, but about halfway through, he decides that he is being menaced by Santa Claus, but he keeps going anyways because he fucking hates Santa Claus and blames him for ruining his life. So it's just John Leguizamo trying to destroy Christmas by killing Santa Claus. Well, David Harbour like beats people up with a hammer. It's stupid, but the action scenes are better than they should be, and the jokes mostly land. So, what more do you want?
You know, that's a common trope in Christmas movies that there's like a bad guy who hates Santa or hates Christmas, and it's like, I mean, I guess I get hating the holiday, but like, if Santa was real, why would you hate somebody who just like gives out a bunch of toys to kids?
Well, in this one, he hates him because he didn't fix his family. Or, like, I think he had, like, an abusive father and Santa didn't intervene, so he's like, fuck you, Santa, I'm gonna kill you.
I thought Christmas was, like, the holiday where Santa came in and started, like, shooting up the town and stuff, and everyone hid from him.
Man, Christmas is way different in India, apparently. I mean, I'm sorry, Indiana. Yeah. Anyways, Rahul, do you have a plug?
No plug this time, boys.
Okay. I'm going to re-up my plug for Just Go Look at a Picture of a Roadrunner. They're really cool.
Roadrunners are pretty cool. Most people have seen the cartoons, don't worry.
Yeah, there's a real bird called a Roadrunner, and it's cooler than the cartoon. Anyways, from all of us at Bad Time Radio, don't worship Satan. It's bad for you.
If you'd like to recommend an episode of Old Time Radio for us to listen to, send us a question for the mailbag, or a pedantic correction, you can reach us at radiobadtime@gmail.com. Our theme music is Finger in the Bottle by We Ashore Dedicated off their album No Ski Here Okie Sap. Thanks so much for listening.
Well, I was gonna gather it.